fighting for America.
We are on the brink of a first in the fight against Obamacare because Republicans have never attacked the ACA with majorities in the House and the Senate.
Fighting for Idaho.
The way Bush has done it over the last 8 years is to take out a credit card from the Bank of China in the name of our children, driving up our national debt. It's unpatriotic.
Fighting for you.
You have the first African-American president. You have an African-American attorney general. And 6 years into their effort, we are in some ways further apart, not close together. That's a tragic failure of leadership at the very top.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning. Winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. It is K. Millie in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Joining us now, our great friend Alex Kincaid, attorney, Second Amendment advocate, and probably a really good shot. Good morning, Alex.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Good to have you with us. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I know you've been up to your old shenanigans, making sure that the Second Amendment is alive and well, not only in Idaho, but throughout the region and the country. Your thoughts right now on a new Congress, a new legislature coming in, does that mean more gun freedoms or perhaps less in Idaho and in America?
I think we can remain hopeful. You know, we can't give up or everything everything bad that we're afraid is going to happen will happen. So, you know, keep a positive attitude and keep charging ahead.
I'm with you on that. But when you take a look at, the court cases, when people have issues with weapons and guns, they come to you to protect their rights. How do you see the attitude of government, I guess, in general, and this is kind of an open-ended question, when it comes to, the individual's right to keep and bear arms?
I think we're moving in a positive direction. I know a lot of people are going to poo-poo that, it's terrible, it's horrible. And it is still horrible out there. It's not where we want to be. But we have seen some good court cases coming down across the country in favor of the Second Amendment over this last year, and I think that's going to continue.
Now, my big concern, and we've talked about this on and off the air, is, gosh forbid, if we would lose that 5-4 Supreme Court that we've had for so many years, we've become accustomed to it, overturning the gun restrictions in Illinois and Washington, D.C. I mean, what would that mean if we had another lib in there for gun rights?
Yeah, it means that some of these cases that we're seeing at the lower federal level, if they make their way to the Supreme Court, it's possible that we get an adverse ruling. But we still have two good rulings coming out of 2008 and 2010 that are holding fast, and it would take a lot to overturn those. It's just possible that we have some justices that might narrow those opinions in a way that wouldn't be what we would want as gun owners.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. Before we get to some state issues, obviously a couple big issues in the news lately, the tragic death of a 29-year-old mother who was shopping at Walmart, shot to death by her 2-year-old. Your thoughts initially on this case?
I have two main points on that, Kevin. And number one, of course, is, she violated a huge rule for gun owners. Never leave your gun unattended where it's accessible to other people who could use it to harm you or anyone else. Huge, very important. Responsible gun owners don't do that. And she made a mistake and allowing her 2-year-old access to that firearm. But number two, of course, this is an accident that involves a firearm, so it's being exploited, and more people are hearing about this than other tragic accidents that happen every day across the country with other tools. I wonder how many people have heard about the kid that chopped his mom's head off with an axe on New Year's Eve. Probably not as many who have heard about this Walmart case.
Yeah, not to the extent. And when we talk about this, and again, let me apologize in advance for this question. Are there any separate rules for men and women when it comes to firearm safety and all?
No. The rules are the same across the board. If you have a gun, you need to make sure that it is not accessible to a 2-year-old. And you can be charged not only criminally for recklessly endangering or a similar law in another state, but you can be charged or sued for a tort, which is leaving a firearm where it might be accessible to someone who may use it against you or another person, can find you on the wrong end of a lawsuit, essentially. And in this case, of course, the person wound up deceased, which is horribly tragic, but the rules are the same.
Sure. So never leave your gun unattended. And certainly when you, I guess some people become so comfortable with their weapons that they forget that it's there. I've had friends that have unfortunately been arrested for going into a courthouse with a weapon. That seems to happen. Or going to an airport with a weapon.
Right. Not only the weapon, but maybe just parts of it. And, it's easy to forget. It becomes something that is very common to you as a gun owner. You put it in the wrong place. You forget that it's there. I'm sure this woman thought it's zippered in a purse and, her two-year-old wouldn't have the time or the ability to get in there, get the gun, and pull the trigger. But obviously that can happen.
Alex, for those of us here at 580KIDO that, we fire our weapons, we do these type of things, I guess it's unthinkable that a two-year-old would be able to get that weapon and to reach in and fire it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it may be unthinkable, but, the number one rule here is if it's your gun, it's your responsibility. Don't become irresponsible. Don't be lazy. Always know where it is, and don't allow it to be accessible to others. Now, unfortunately, bad things happen. Accidents happen. And in this instance, it was the worst possible outcome. Maybe not the worst possible. I suppose the child could have shot someone else as well.
Well, what will happen to the child, do you think?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a child psychologist, and the child is two. So who knows what the memories are going to be going forward and whether, that memory will be imprinted of what he saw.
Sure. No, not only that, but I'm thinking about legally if anything will happen to the child. I was
of course not. No, that child could not form any kind of intent that would make him responsible in any way.
And then you've got this phony report on Facebook saying that the child has been taken to a maximum facility place and going to get the death penalty and all. I'm going, who writes this stuff?
Oh, the nonsense! And I'll tell you, I even had a scathing remark on one of my Facebook posts. Facebook drives me crazy, by the way, but. somebody said, I hope you have I hope you don't have a purse and shop at Walmart. And it's just that people are out there making stuff up, blowing things out of proportion, exploiting this, of course, because a firearm was involved, and using it for their own agendas. So, it just follows this kind of a tragedy.
Well, and that's the thing that we want to certainly avoid and raise awareness here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. What about places like Walmart and Starbucks and these places when it comes to, being armed? We have our great friend Tony Sinesco, who openly carries all the time, and, to make sure that those rights are always, his and ours and such. But when it comes to the workplace or it comes to the stores or churches and such, what's your opinion on that?
I think that, people can carry wherever they can lawfully carry, but they need to do it responsibly again. I'm sure, I know Tony, and I don't think someone's going to easily come up and take his gun and shoot another person. He knows where it is, he's aware of it, and you can't lose that awareness while you're carrying a firearm. If you're going to put your firearm in your purse, you better not leave your purse sitting around.
Sure. And here's the thing that I don't understand is America was founded on guns, literally. And yet we have people that want to disarm us. When you're in court and when you're representing folks, are you surprised by that argument that, a safe America is a disarmed America?
Well, I've heard it so often now.
Right.
No, I'm not surprised. No, I think, there are plenty of people out there who would be thrilled if we were relieved of any and all gun rights in this country. And we're not going to give up that fight. That's why I say you have to maintain your positive attitude and not give up. We have to keep going forward. We have to keep fighting and not just worry about what's going to happen and what could happen. So, keep going. Keep educating. I love the education part of my practice, and I love what you're doing on the radio. You're an excellent resource and advocate for gun rights, and you help people hear these issues and understand them and get the word out. Gun owners aren't freaks. This woman in Walmart, this was a tragedy. She unfortunately became irresponsible with her firearm. That doesn't mean she was always irresponsible. That means she was busy. She was in a store with a two-year-old, and she became lazy in that moment. And unfortunately, it ended her life.
Well, here's the thing. By the way, Alex Kincaid with us. attorney, and your practice, Alex, I see the ads all the time. I see you firing the weapons. You protect people's rights to keep and bear arms. What else do you do?
You know what? My practice has really turned into, I represent gun owners and gun-related businesses, conservative Americans in all of their planning needs. I started in private practice doing broad business and estate planning for folks to try to help keep them out of court after I had spent about a decade as a trial attorney. And now, you know, I do a lot of the same things, but my clientele are a focus group, mostly people who might have, you know, maybe they just have one gun or, you know, it's a gun business.
Indeed, and we'll talk a little bit more about that and how people are trying to, I guess, go after gun businesses and such here at 580KIDO. You know, this woman was not a, you know, she was a nuclear scientist, literally, graduated from the University of Idaho, the young lady that unfortunately was killed by her kid. But, I mean, she had a concealed carry permit. She she lived the life. So it wasn't as if she was, you know, as she's being tried to be portrayed as just some crazy person. When you talk about gun owners and you being one of them and practice and such, they're probably some of the most logical folks that you know.
Some of the most logical, some of the most responsible folks that I know. That's why I love working with gun owners.
What are the challenges for gun-owning businesses? You know, we hear the ads all the time here on 580KIDO about gun stores and such, but they could be targets of lawsuits and people seeking to go after them as well.
Well, you did hear about the manufacturer being sued by the Sandy Hook victims, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's an unusual kind of case. I think one of the day-to-day challenges for our gun-related businesses is if you think about all the things that a business has to do to protect itself, basically, and then you add an entire new layer, which is the ATF compliance work, and having someone knock on your door and say, we want to review your records. And if you've entered something, you know, which maybe in a day-to-day business would be minor, but in ATF's world is a, quote, violation, that makes your business all the more challenging. And it is the constant concern of, you know, gosh, if I sell a gun to the wrong person, I'm going to come under scrutiny. I could lose my license, my ability to have a business if I do something wrong here. That's added pressure, and it just makes those business owners have to be all the more diligent and pay attention to the details.
Well, it just seems that we're trying to run folks out of business.
Well, sure. Sure it is. I mean, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot to get a report of violation, certainly, and most gun businesses have a violation in any given year, meaning they haven't done something absolutely correctly in their record keeping or in their sales process. But, you know, I've also helped businesses who have a license revocation proceeding and had to go to the federal courthouse and sit in a hearing and argue why that business should be able to keep their federal firearms license and continue in business.
Well, yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about that coming up. By the way, if you mind if we have any questions for you as well?
No.
All right.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, 580KIDO. Our friend Alex Kincaid with us. We're talking about the laws about guns and attorneys and everything else, which she is one. Now, before we get to how do you defend somebody who might have their legal right to keep and bear arms taken away, it's amazing this story out of Hayden, Idaho, is continuing to get national play. You have folks on one side saying you need more gun training. On the other hand, you have people like today's Huffington Post. The only way to make the gun debate disappear is to disarm the public. Not only that, but you've got the Boston Globe running major editorials about this incident. It's just amazing. Instead of focusing in on, as you have, the real world issue here, people have used this tragic death, this killing, to promote their own cause.
Well, and they always will. You know, I don't think that's ever going to stop, Kevin. And most gun owners get more training, and they are looking for answers. They're trying to understand what the rules are, how to best not only protect themselves but protect other people, such as the child in this incident. But accidents happen, and you know, unfortunately, when a firearm is involved in an accident, it is exploited far more than when anything else is used. And we hear tragic stories all the time, such as, you know, kids getting run over with lawnmowers or, you know, horrible, horrible things that are not exploited to this degree. But most gun owners are responsible. They seek out more training. Advocates like you and I try to help people understand that getting a concealed weapons permit is not the end of training. It is the very beginning of training for most gun owners.
Now, I'm looking at, and again, it's interesting, Forbes just published an infographic talking about the most gun-friendly states. Of course, now it's gone down, but it's been picked up by some website. So here I go. I might be quoting something. Gosh forbid anybody, Alex, in the media quotes something that's inaccurate, but we'll see what happens here. Apparently, the most gun-friendly state is Wyoming with almost 200 people per 1,000. Washington, D.C. is second, and people can't believe that. But, I mean, you couldn't own a weapon in Washington, D.C. for quite some time, right?
Right.
Arkansas third, New Mexico, Virginia, then Idaho, about 24 people every 1,000 residents. Just how gun-friendly is the Gem State?
Wow, that number sounds a little low.
Mm-hmm.
24 per 1,000, I don't think that's quite accurate. And I think maybe, I don't know who's doing the surveys and how they're checking that they're reporting. Is it self-reporting by gun owners? Because my clients don't like to talk about what guns they have or if they even have guns.
Well, I don't know why we wouldn't trust our great federal government.
Nobody wants to be on the list, right?
Right.
Gosh, that sounds really low. I don't know what to say to that. Who did that survey?
It was by Forbes, and they cite Bloomberg and the ATF.
Oh!
Exactly. But based on your travels in the state and protecting people's rights to keep and bear arms, Alex, how gun-friendly are they? Remember, was it a few years ago when you were speaking at the rallies throughout the state that we were mad that we were number 32 from guns and ammo? Now, I believe we've moved up, but, I mean, you know, you're in the industry. How gun-friendly are we?
I think we're pretty gun-friendly. I mean, you know, look, we're one of the states that doesn't have restrictive laws that goes beyond, you know, what the federal level says we can own as far as firearms. We can own any kind of firearm that is legal under the federal laws. We can own it in the state of Idaho. Suppressors, full autos. People who move here from other states are shocked often to find that out, right? And we have, you know, rules that are protective of the Second Amendment. We have this preemption law. I think you had Greg Pruitt from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance on not too long ago, talking about their preemption project. That's because we have a law that says that, you know, we support the Second Amendment, and we're not going to allow smaller government bodies to make rules that violate our Second Amendment protections. So these ranking systems look at different things. I don't know if you're calling random houses and asking if you have guns, you know, how accurate that's going to be.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of, you know, subjective personal opinion that goes into the guns and ammo polls about what the laws say and how gun friendly they are. So, you know, being the middle of the road in the guns and ammo review, there's certainly things that can be improved here, but I think overall we are very gun friendly in Idaho and we're fortunate to live here.
Well, since you mentioned our great friend Greg Pruitt, what's your thoughts on the constitutional carry issue that he continues to champion?
I think, you know, he's outstanding for continuing to move forward in that effort. He's brought it up now, I think, I want to say 3 years.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, you talk about having a positive attitude and going forward. This year, there's more momentum than ever behind that movement. And other states are moving in that direction. He has done some digging and found advocates from those states who are in law enforcement who are willing to come forward and say, look, you know, we were kind of against this and we were worried about it, but as it turns out, this hasn't increased crime. This hasn't been a problem in our state. Constitutional carry, I think one of the big myths about what constitutional carry means is that all of a sudden people who are criminals are going to be carrying guns. You know, fallacy. Every time that argument is brought up, it's ridiculous. Criminals don't care what the law is. Constitutional carry simply means that law-abiding gun owners like you and me aren't going to have to go through a government process to get an extra permit to tuck our gun under our shirt or somewhere else instead of open carrying. And people who are anti-gun complain about the open carriers, right? You walk around with a gun on your hip. Blah, blah, blah. But then they make it harder to get a concealed carry permit.
Alex, let's go to the phones quickly to Carol in Nampa at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Carol.
Morning. I have a question, Kevin and Alex, about the shall not be infringed part. What does that mean to Alex legally or just in general? Or I've always been confused about that for a long time because obviously there is infringement. You know, so how can that be fixed for people?
Right. And the problem, and that question comes up a lot, because the plain wording of the Constitution is exactly as you say, shall not be infringed. And here we have laws coming out of the federal government since 1934 that are whittling away our Second Amendment rights. So what the courts have said is we can have reasonable restrictions on the people's right to keep and bear arms. That does not completely take away a person's right to keep and bear arms for self-defense purposes. And the courts are still trying to figure out what that means. Across the country, you could have the exact same case with someone wanting to own a certain type of firearm or carry in a certain way in a certain place, like open carry or concealed carry outside the home. And depending on what court your district is, you could have a different outcome. So that's why when we started this talk this morning about what's going on across the country, I said, you know, some of these cases may make their way to the Supreme Court eventually, and then we will have a firm decision. And if we have the wrong justices in there, it may not be the decision that we want.
That's a good point, Carol. Thank you for the call. Alex Kincaid, if people want to get a hold of you, obviously on Facebook, your phone number.
Facebook or phone number is 208-365-4411 in Emmett or 345-6308. That's my Eagle office. I'm easy to find on the web, alexkincaid.com or alexkincaidlaw.com. And we have a whole new program, Kevin, for gun owners where we have a membership program, and I will defend people through trial if they ever have to use their firearm in self-defense. So be sure to check that out.
Tough call. Which place do you like better, Eagle or Emmett?
You know, Emmett is my home now. I live out in the country. I can shoot from my deck.
Right.
So you gotta love Emmett. But, you know, Eagle is, it brings me closer to the city and a lot of folks that I work with. I spend 2 days in Emmett, 2 days in Eagle, and then Friday's kind of a day where, you know, this week I'm in trial. So it just depends.
Well, thank you for taking time. We'd love to have you back.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. It's been a pleasure.
Take care.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There we have it. Alex Kincaid with us. Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
And welcome to, is it Wednesday already? Boy, time flies while we're having fun. Kevin Miller in the morning, Dave Burnett with us, the Manly Man segment. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
A little foggy out. I'd have to tell you, for the first time this morning, or the first time in my professional career as an over-the-road driver, I know what an airline pilot feels like because I kind of felt myself getting lost in the fog.
It was that way yesterday, too. It was really bad yesterday. But perhaps a little foggier on your way in from Star America.
Well, I thought... exactly.
Watch out for the ship.
Well, I thought of you because, you know, you're in your big truck driving around and got the fog lights on, and here I am in my little car, beep, beep. And I'm going, well, you know, Dave Burnett's going to give me a hard time because I'm going to tell him how tough it is. And he's going to go, well, Kevin, I live right by you. And I'm going, by the time I get to your joint, I'm almost at work.
Well, yeah, I mean, you drive in from the middle of nowhere.
Well, that is the home of the governor, I'll let you know.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You don't live in that neighborhood.
No, he's funny because sometimes he thinks that I do, and he'll say to me, he'll go, well, you know, you need to clean down your brush. I go, well, Governor, I live like Three
I live on the other side of the subway.
I live on the other side of the tracks.
Yeah, Star has a subway, by the way.
Yes, it does.
It does. I always tell people that. Don't Star. There's a subway right there in the middle of town.
There is a subway station. But, you know, I'm taking a look at this fog, and it's weird because you remember when JFK Jr. got it, right?
When he got it? That's very sensitive of you. Oh. Yes, I do remember when he got it.
Well, and they talked about that pilots sometimes when they're flying because of the clouds mm-hmm. and when it's real dark and if you can't fly with the instruments, you get lost. And literally, the fog was so bad, I'm going, I don't know where I'm at.
It's weird. And can I share a personal story?
Well, that's what it's about here.
In December, I was doing an event out of town, and I was flying on a private plane. I know it sounds big time, but it's not. But they let me sit in the co-pilot seat. Ooh. And we landed in the fog and the snow, and it was scary. I mean, it was like I'm watching the instruments, and it's you see it's getting down 400 at 500 feet. This beep, beep, beep goes off. It's like, oh, my goodness, I can't see anything.
Right.
And then literally at the last second, suddenly, oh, there's the ground. Phew, landed perfect. It's like, wow, I'm impressed. It's, you know, I can't imagine landing a plane, but landing it blind like that, holy cow.
I was
impressed.
That instrument training must be pretty intense.
It has to be. Get under the hood, I was told. Oh, no, you're trained under a hood where you can't see anything. It's like, oh, my goodness.
Well, yeah, but you still know that if you crash, you're in a garage or a hangar or something like
yeah.
that.
He says it just you just have to trust the instruments. And I don't know that I don't trust the instruments in here.
Well, you're not a trusting person?
I just don't trust instruments. You see the instruments I'm flying with in here? I don't trust them.
It's kind of like the old Millennium Falcon.
Yes.
Just smack them.
Yeah. But no, you know, I have complete respect for those pilots and for those that deal in the fog. And so this morning, in some places, now, you know, as I look at our cams, as I look at 84 and exit 0 right there at the connector, it's not too bad there. But then I go and look at other places, State and Veterans Parkway, can't even see the road. It's so foggy.
No, and it's funny. Yesterday I was driving home, and all of a sudden I almost hit a car because I couldn't see them. This is a 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yikes.
No, it's just because they stopped, and boom, it was, you know, I couldn't see them until they were, you know, 25, 50 feet in front of me.
Hmm.
The lights just appeared, and I'm going, what's going on? Oh, they're stopped.
And then the other problem you will run into, and I had on my way in this morning, you'll run into, is the fact that the fog does affect the signal lights.
It does.
Yeah. Sometimes it can't because they try to see you. And if it is so dense, they can't. It doesn't see you, and it'll sit on red forever. Right there at 55 and State Street, I sat and I sat and I sat. And finally, I creeped partway out into the intersection. And it goes, oh, there you are. Okay, we'll turn green for you now.
Well, I was stuck somewhere this morning over by that Chevron station in Idaho Central Credit Union.
Oh, right down toward Collister, yeah.
Right, and usually they, you know, you get on the sensor and you're good to go. Mm-hmm. I had to go over it like 7 times.
Yeah, well, a lot of them, it's not sensors on the road. It's up above. It looks at you.
I swear it was a sensor.
Do you?
Oh, not really.
Okay. Yeah, but that's what those long camera-looking items are up on the traffic signals.
I see. Yeah. I see.
They're not cameras watching you per se. It's sensing your car.
So you have any tips?
At the end of each one of my fingers, I do, yes.
Traffic safety tips?
Yeah, seriously, slow down. If your car is not properly warmed up, you'll form a little bit of ice around the windshield. We're at 28 right now, and it'll get freezing on the windshield. So make sure, you know, your car is properly warmed up, and scrape the windshield if you need to. Not a little hole, scrape it all.
Yeah, I still don't know why people do that.
Scrape a little hole and go?
Yeah.
I can't figure it out either.
Live dangerously.
It's the assuming that your defrost will work quickly, but like on a day today, it won't work quite as quickly as it would normally.
Right.
So be aware of that and just give some extra stopping space. And I guess here's the other one, and this drives me nuts in the snow as well. People will give extra space for stopping, and then somebody will go, oh, I can get in there, and they'll whip right in front of you. It's like, no, that space is there for a reason, you knucklehead. Trying to put some space between me and them.
The truckers really like it.
What, space?
When people get in that space.
Yeah, oh, and then it's right in a blind spot, too,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the other trucker. So give plenty of room.
So we've got that going on.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some things, but I'm just kind of saving them here.
Well, what do you got?
Well, I'll get to the irrelevant sports topic. the Oregon Ducks,
mm-hmm.
my Oregon Ducks, who really cares about any other team?
Well, get the ladder, crawl on the bandwagon.
Now, in fairness, I was with them at the beginning of the season, and I have admired them for about 2 or 3 years.
Liked them since Chip Kelly. You are very openly proud of that.
I like coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Teams have, but coaches I admire. I'd like to be one day. Not a coach, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, cover of Sports Illustrated this week again.
The
and
Ducks?
Sports Illustrated actually picks the Ducks 45-41, whatever happened to defense, to beat Ohio State.
There will be no defense in this. It'll be a run up and down the field, and that's why Ohio State will not be able to stay with them.
Do you think that's a good thing? Remember the old SI curse and now the Madden curse?
Well, the old SI curse, I mean, it's old. Oh, and I've got an answer for you and something else, too. Don't let me forget.
Okay. Don't forget the answer.
Yeah, but no, the old Sports Illustrated curse doesn't really work anymore.
Really?
No.
Hmm.
No, it doesn't. Boise State was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Did they run undefeated that year, I think?
Yeah, that was it. Oh, it's always Boise State. Boise. There are a lot of people that got hurt. Yeah, when they were on the cover and then and didn't do well.
Yeah,
Alabama.
But that's it. How long ago
Florida
was that?
State.
How long ago
last
was that?
Week.
Oh, were they on the cover the week before that?
Everybody was. It was a regional.
I don't read Sports Illustrated. I'll look at stories online, but I don't read the magazine.
Well, do you think people are pulling for the Ducks? Because I had a lady, I was at the Star Cafe yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Goofing off, and she goes, I like that Oregon! And I go, but I like Boise State better. I go, right on, go Ducks.
You know, it's a weird dynamic here, because Oregon is in the region. But Boise State fans take great pride that they're probably the only program that's beaten the Ducks 2 times in a row. So there's people. But again, that's what did you do for me? That's a long time ago. That it's not this year.
Right.
It's just kind of interesting to watch people and their dynamics with the Ducks, because you want to hate them because you play them and they won't schedule again with us. But you want to like them too because they're in the region.
Well, we've got that going on here at 580 KIDO. So what was the answer to the question?
Talking about you asked me yesterday about ESPN and why they're making such a big deal out of the death of, and my mind's drawing a blank here.
Stuart Scott.
Of Stu from ESPN. I started thinking about it because he was there like 20 years, right?
Almost 20, yeah.
So anyone who's 30, 35 years old who watches the evil four-letter network, they don't remember a time that he wasn't there.
Right.
And I think that may be part of the deal, and maybe why part of the deal that he was being made such a big deal of, because for the 35-year-old, they don't know the four-letter network without that.
Hmm. Yeah, I give it to Stuart Scott. I mean, while he was fighting cancer, he jumped on, and he, you know, again, didn't miss work and everything else. But my thoughts and prayers go out to the people that that are fighting that deadly illness and don't have the support that Stuart Scott did.
Yeah, but, you know... Hopefully they could draw on the resource and the attention that, you know, that goes to him, that'll, you know, help go that way. That's all you can hope for. But, yeah, there are a lot of people suffering and battling it more by themselves.
Yep.
So, there you go.
I still have some stuff.
So. What else you got?
Did
you want to talk about the Boise State-Oregon, connection?
Sure. At 580KIDO.
I mean, we could talk about it. Well, we could save that for another day, but we will.
Well, we will.
Yeah, there's a huge connection.
Great.
In the coaching world.
Well, Coach Pete and Helfrich or whatever his name is.
Yeah, it goes back to Cutter and Hawkins and Carson and all. There's a huge tie. But go on to your next topic. We'll save that for a day closer to next Monday.
Well, who are you going with, Oregon?
Yeah.
Of course you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, two big news stories yesterday. One, Sherry Ibarra says she was on a listening tour.
Mm-hmm.
State school superintendent, and, you know, I just got to believe she's going to be about probably the most unimpressive elective official we've elected in quite some time.
Well, she's going to work for the students, we heard yesterday.
As if everybody doesn't.
I mean, yeah, what are you going to say? I'm not going to work for the students this time around. Who's not going to say that? Going to work to increase the budget?
Right. Here's the other thing that gets me. Though she said she's not going to say anything till she talks to the lawmakers, till she hears what the governor has to say, then why have a news conference? Why have a news conference?
Let's just hear what the governor has to say.
Right, and then she goes, I'm going to go on a listening tour. I've been on a listening tour because I've been campaigning. And really, God bless her. I'm sure she was a great school superintendent, but as a politician, you know, she's no Tom Luna.
There are some skills to hone there, Kevin.
Well, and really, what can the state school superintendent do? It's the governor and the legislature that really set the budget.
I mean, the truth is, that position is an administrative position. You better have good administrative skills.
And let me hit you with this really quick, and we'll talk about this all morning long ad nauseum, because people are blowing up with it on social media. And if it's on social media, we talk about it. John Boehner gets reelected despite the urgings of Glenn Beck, despite the urgings of Sean Hannity, despite the urgings of everybody. I mean, Glenn was on there yesterday. We can't get 20 votes. No, Glenn, you can't. 25 votes against Boehner. It's the largest ever smacking a speaker, but John Boehner was reelected, and there you have it.
Well, and if you want to turn it to a more local angle, our own lawmakers, or Al Labrador, voted yes.
The guy that led the coup against him the last time.
Yeah.
The guy that voted present the last time is calling people stupid for not voting for John Boehner. He's winning a lot of friends, that guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, and as I understand it, the punishments are getting ready to be handed out to those who voted against him now, and you know they will. You know the punishments are coming.
Well, there was a big story in Political about that yesterday. However, I think the big question here locally is, you know, you have a guy that, I'm going to stand up for everybody, I'm a member of the Tea Party, but I'm not, kind of enjoy the benefits without committing to them. And then all of a sudden, he endorsed Governor Otter, which didn't help him. He hired Dan Popke, which didn't help him with his base. And now he voted for John Boehner, didn't help him with his base. A lot of changes with that guy.
Well, I think that is trying to save political clout in D.C., because I think he knew the handwriting was on the wall, and better to be with, even if it's with reservations, than to be against.
Right, right. But when you all of a sudden go from a member of the Alabama Crimson Tide to an Oregon Duck fan, people are wondering. The same.
I don't think anyone's wondering, because in Alabama, they don't know Oregon exists.
Oh, yeah, they do. They have two programs in the West have always fixated them, Oregon and Boise State.
Really?
Seriously, yeah, but... you know what time it is. You're having such a good time, you forget the time.
I do. Well, traffic now is your...